I don't think there's any need for me to share the word. The word has already been shared because everything I'm going to say has already been shared. But however, there's no harm to repeat it because some of you are very dense. And you don't listen to your parents or to those in authority, do you? So, I want to... Where's Prince? Prince, would you stand up? Would you congratulate Prince? He's just after getting married. Unfortunately, he hasn't got his wife with him. It's too cold to bring his wife. So he's waiting for the summertime, so when it'll be a little bit warmer than it is now, so his wife will join him. So well, we bless the two of them, Lord, and Lord, may they have long life together. And don't listen to Peter and give him the advice about marriage. Yeah? Bless them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sharing a simple message and using some material from Carter Cornyn, Pastor Jeremiah, David Jeremiah, and Derry Prince's material as well. So I'd like to just acknowledge I've tapped into that source as well as my own source, which is the Holy Spirit as well. And the title of my talk this morning is 8 Words That Changed Everything. And we find this in the book of Acts. We read that Saul, a man who had definitive objective in his life, he thought he understood what truth was. So he set out to persecute the Christian Church of Jesus Christ. Yet, as he was on the road to Damascus one day, a blinding light from heaven suddenly caused him to be thrown from his horse onto the ground. The scripture tells us that he is blind for 3 days. We see this in Acts 9, verses 3 and 9. Everything he thought he was, all that he attempted to do, every purpose he thought he had in life, suddenly came to an end. It may feel the same way for you today. Perhaps you thought you knew what your life was going to be like, but whether gradually are suddenly like Saul, who was, as we know, became the Apostle Paul, you have come to an end. You can no longer see the way forward. Paul, trembling and astonished, had an encounter with the living God. The first thing he prayed in response was a prayer that I believe everyone who wants a living relationship with God should pray. He spoke 8 words that changed everything, not just for him, but for millions of Christian people around the world. In Acts 9, we see these 8 words. He says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the first word was a simple word, "Lord." And in Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus said to the religious leaders of the day, "Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things which I say?" Yet when Paul called him Lord, he meant it. It was a confession that he was no longer in charge. There was a new boss in his life. There's a new sheriff in town. Paul understood that he was called to lay down his plans and everything he thought his life was going to amount to. I believe that is part of the reason why many Christians in this generation are so powerless, is because they have never truly came to that place of surrender, saying, "God, you are Lord of my life now. Your word is supreme. Your thoughts are above my thoughts. Your ways are above my ways. If your word says it's wrong, it is wrong, even though I may think it is right. I am not going to be among those who call you Lord, but do not do the things which you say. I yield my life to you." The next words that Paul says, "What do you want me to do?" This implied that God not only had the right to his life, but he had a divine purpose for his life. The will of God is not always pleasant, we often want to hatch some pleasant things in the heart and bring it to God saying, here is my will for my life. And you God, will agree with it. But Jesus himself said in Matthew 26:39, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Remember, God does not want your plans. He does not need your strength. Imagine this formerly enraged man called Saul hauling Christians out of their home and in torturing them to a point of them blaspheming God just to get out of pain. When Stephen, a precious young servant of God, was martyred, Paul was there minding the courts of the witnesses consenting to the death. See Acts 7 verse 58. No doubt Paul was a man, or Saul was a man full of ideas. His whole life had been governed by his own zealous agenda. But now he had come to a point of saying, Lord, what do you want? You have a divine purpose for my life. We must understand that the divine purpose of God for your life is far beyond your thinking. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. In other words, he's telling us, I'm thinking thoughts about you that you have not even considered yet. I can do more for you through your life than you can even ask or think. In the natural, we are confined in our minds by our past experiences, by the depths of our struggles, by the parameters which other people have said about us. But the Holy Spirit, who comes to live inside of you and me when you yield to the Lord, is not confined by these things. He is the God of the universe, and he can do things that we cannot even imagine. We see in the Bible the last two words of Paul's prayers were, to do. Making the full statement, Lord, what do you want me to do? In other words, he is the Lord of my life with a divine purpose for my life. And now his plans require my active cooperation. God starts to open doors, and we are simply required to walk through them. Remember, Jesus said to the church of Philadelphia in Revelation 3, verse 8, see, I set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength and kept my word, and you have not denied my name. The open door here is set by God, and all he requires us now is our cooperation, our willingness to go where we have never gone, to do what we know that we cannot do without him, to speak even though we do not know what is going to come out of our mouth, and to be put into uncomfortable places. Consider Paul going from an enraged persecutor of the church to suddenly find himself in the middle of followers of Jesus Christ, looking for acceptance and trying to convince the disciple that he was no longer against them. It must have been incredibly uncomfortable for him. But yet, as we know from that initial prayer, God did things through his life that you and I are still talking about 2,000 years later. When Paul prayed, Lord, what do you want me to do? We might expect God to have said, Paul, I want you to get up and start writing the scriptures. I want you to go and establish churches. You see, you and I always want the whole package, the full answer. But God's first answer to Paul's prayer was simple, arise and go into the city. We see this in Acts 9:6. That was all that God told him to do. Although we want the entire pathway laid out before us, God says, no, just take the first step and just do the first things first. He does not lay it out before us. because he knows that we would not be able to handle it. If within the first few weeks of my own salvation, Jesus had laid out his plan for me about this church and things, I would have run a mile. Because I had a lot of struggles in my life at that time. And I was not yet free from fear. I didn't even speak in public. I'd be trembling at the knees coming up. I still do. I have butterflies in my stomach every time I come up to preach. So everything he would have laid out before me would have seemed an absolute impossibility. So in his mercy and gentleness, God just told me to do the first things first. What did I do? I just kept showing up, kept coming to the meetings, kept listening and learning, kept listening. Remember, do not despise the days of small beginnings. Do not regard that initial answer to your prayer as nothing. Perhaps God will tell you to get up and open your Bible. Like he does to me when I watch an Arsenal go on top of the league, you know. Go in and read Acts 9, verse 6. But it was a pleasure to win yesterday. Sorry, David, I couldn't resist that one. It was a draw, but we're still top of the league. Maybe he would tell you to go into the kitchen and pour that bottle of wine or bottle of whiskey down the sink. Or he'd tell you to flush the drugs that you're using down the toilet. Or he may even tell you to come into the church and hoover the church or clean the yard. You know? Or maybe he'd tell you to get a word and speak it to the heart of your wayward son or daughter. And whether they may laugh or curse at you, just go through that first door by faith. In Paul's case, after he was told to go into the city, the second answer that came to him was when God sent a man called Ananias to lay hands on Paul so that he would receive his sight back. The Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." See this in Acts 9, verse 15. So Ananias obeyed God and went to Paul and essentially said, "God has sent me here, and this is what he taught me about you. Your ministry is going to be greater than anything you could ever imagine it to be. It is not too big to God, but it is big to you. And God is going to use you because he has chosen, but you have chosen to obey. However, there is a caveat that comes with it. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake." We see this in Acts 9:16. Yes, in other words, yes, your ministry is going to be far-reaching, and it's not going to be easy. Likely, I believe there's going to be hardship ahead for many who choose to stand for Christ today. They'll go on to have a widespread ministry, but it will be costly. Nevertheless, we know that our generation desperately needs the church to begin to walk in all that God has ordained for us. My prayer is that God will give to each of us the grace and willingness to say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Remember, Paul did not start by saying, "Lord, I have 100 ideas about how to advance your kingdom. I have a strategy." He came in surrender to the Lord's plans. Don't forget that God's plan for your life is much bigger than even the best one you can imagine for yourself. It simply starts with the desire to get up and then wait until the Lord speaks to you. And if you follow the leading of his voice, though it may not be easy, you will impact your own known world, starting with your own home. In fact, your ministry could change the trajectory of your entire family. You could have an impact of your workplace, your community, and beyond. If God simply finds an obedient heart, it is amazing what he can do. New Year is coming. Forget about making New Year's resolution this year. Let's make 2024 the year of the Lord. The best gift you can give to the Lord today is to give your life to Him. If that's in your heart today, I'd like you to come to the altar and say in your heart, like Paul, and mean it and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm going to pause for a moment. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And I want them to sing Reckless Love. Nice and quietly. Now, if you feel that God has spoken to you this morning through the word and you want to come to the altar, please do.
I would like to just take the little opportunity and share it is true what we hear this morning. When I wake up this morning, that was my first thing, my first thought. I stand before the Lord and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'm just listening now, I'm touched. Because I did this on the morning. And this is Holy Spirit teaching. And just listen to this and follow this.
I believe 2024 is going to be a significant year for this church in Maranatha. God is going to do something really, really special in 2024. So, I don't know what He's going to do, but keep showing up and He will do it. We just let Him do it. We won't try to force an agenda on Him. So, Lord, we just commit 2024 to Him, to You now, Lord. And Lord, let you all repeat that. Lord,
Lord,
Lord, show me what to do.
Show me what to do.
And let God answer that. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.